Welcome to the Vision Podcast, a podcast that explores news topics and information of interest to the faculty, staff, and friends of the Mississippi State University College of Arts and Sciences. I'm your host, Karen Brown.
And I'm your host, Sam Califer. Today, we are joined by Dr. Anjel Tanner, Associate Professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy. Anjel, welcome to the Vision Podcast.
Greetings. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you on the show. And so to start, I was hoping you could just introduce yourself and tell us how you came to Mississippi State University.
I can do that. Yeah, my specialty of research is astronomy. And my subfield is the study of extrasolar planets, which are planets that study, that orbit around other stars. I came to Mississippi State from grad school and then working at JPL and having a postdoc at Georgia State University. And I've been here at Mississippi State for about 12 years now.
Wow.
And of course, you probably get this question all the time, Anjel, but how did you get interested in space and how did that guide your career path?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this a little bit lately with a certain movie that just came out. So, I was in the space since I was really quite young. I grew up in the age of Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Star Wars. And I was building ships out of wood when I was 8. But the reason I've been thinking about the movie Dune is that both of my parents were very avid science fiction readers, despite the fact that they were both attorneys. So they read the Dune books and they read a lot of science fiction books. I did not read the Dune books. I don't read, but,
interesting. Yeah,
so I definitely grew up with, a lot of science fiction, and really my mother really helped me get here. She supported me all through K through 12 to get me to college in astronomy. So, yeah.
So it has been a part of your life. It sounds like forever.
Yep. Pretty much.
That's great.
Yeah. That's so exciting. I mean, just growing up, you are like a sponge in the way you absorb things. And so having parents that loved science fiction and maybe Star Trek was on the TV, you know, that was just something that you picked up on, that love of space exploration. And so I think that's something people dream about doing when they're a kid. And it's so interesting that you followed through with that. And, you know, now you're the one looking out into space and trying to find new stars and if there's anything else out there. And so just such an exciting role to have for the university. And yep. Speaking of space and celestial events, there's an exciting eclipse coming up in April. So could you tell us a bit about this eclipse?
Yeah, so April 8th, the afternoon of April 8th, there's going to be in Starkville a partial solar eclipse. So that means that the moon is going to pass between the Earth and the sun. And it just happens that we have a moon that's just big enough compared to its distance from the Earth and compared to the distance of the sun from the Earth, that in some locations it will completely block out the sun. Mm-hmm. Now in Starkville, partial eclipse, the whole thing will start around 12:40. It will reach maximum coverage at around 2 p.m. and end at around 3:15. It's a fairly slow event, so you don't have to rush out and watch it for just a few seconds. About in Starkville, about 90% of the sun will be covered by the moon during maximum eclipse. So there'll only be a little sliver of sun peeking out from behind the moon.
And I've talked to you about this before, Anjel, but we can't stress enough. And I can remember as a child when I saw, you know, when there was an eclipse, you know, don't look at the eclipse, but we really need to promote and tell people about the safety of viewing an eclipse, and especially now with cell phones. What are some of those precautions that you recommend? What do we need to know?
Yeah, so in Starkville, we're not getting totality. If you do want to go to totality, the nearest place that I'm going to is going to be in Arkansas. So you have to wear, if you're going to look at the eclipse or if you're going to point your camera to the eclipse, you should use eclipse glasses at all times. Absolutely no exceptions. So our eyes, even though only a little bit, 9% of the sun will be there, it'll be bright enough. There'll be enough optical light coming from it. And then ultraviolet light, which we don't see, which can burn the back of our eyes. In the back of our eyes don't have the pain receptors that the rest of our body does, because usually the sun's so bright, we don't look at it. It hurts our eyes. So even though it doesn't seem to be hurting to look at the eclipse, you're actually you're running the possibility of burning the back of your eye, and that could be very, very bad. So unless you're at totality, always wear those eclipse glasses. We're going to have a bunch. We'll talk about that in a second.
Something else too that you brought to my attention with the glasses is you can't just trust that you're automatically getting a pair that's good for your eyes, right?
Yeah. So this happened in 2017. There were a lot of counterfeits out there. If you have any questions, you can definitely contact me or the other astronomer, Dr. Donna Pierce, and we can talk to you about how to check. There's a few websites. There's different little symbols that you can look for, or I'm assuming you can do some tests to see if the glasses that you have purchased for you and your family are appropriate and actually blocking out most of the light.
And if you saved glasses from a previous eclipse, you want to make sure it doesn't have scratches, right?
Yeah, no scratches, no holes. Make sure that the film hasn't been degraded from sitting in a wet garage for a few years. So yeah, I mean, people kind of want everybody to buy new glasses, but if you have old glasses, you're probably fine, but you should probably check them out first.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so important to get that important message out so that people can enjoy this, it's kind of a crazy event. What you were just saying about the moon is just the right size to block the sun. I mean, the odds of that are crazy, and it's a very interesting thing to look at, and it doesn't happen that often. And so I know that the Department of Physics and Astronomy has some cool things going on to celebrate this event. So I was hoping you could tell us and our audience a bit about that.
Yeah, so officially, the Department of Physics and Astronomy, working with the College of Arts and Sciences, we are going to have an event on the drill field from 12:30 to 3, I think, or close enough around where the eclipse.
12 to 3:30. 12 to 3:30.
In fact, I'm going to write that down in my notes. That sounds good. And we will be setting up some tents for a little bit of shade, and we've gotten a few thousand eclipse glasses. We have lots of glasses. We'll have a solar telescope. You don't need a telescope to look at the event, but sometimes it's fun to look at it a little bit up close, and it'll be safe. A solar telescope will have lots of toys to play with. They're called pinhole viewers. So we'll have colanders and various things that have holes in them that you can use to take some cool pictures. And we might even have some musical entertainment. If it is cloudy, everything gets moved inside, and we'll watch a live feed from the many live feeds that are going to be happening all around the country in the Boss Theater.
That sounds great. And then the other thing, too, we're telling people is to follow the College of Arts and Sciences social media feeds, because we'll update people of any of those changes.
Yeah. And we're also going to have a public talk, it was decided. Stay tuned for the public talk. I think it got scheduled for April 3rd. Dr. Pierce will be giving that in the evening for the public, and you can come to campus and learn about the eclipse before it happens. And that'll be free, of course. All this is free.
And the other thing, too, that, what if somebody says, hey, I'll just catch the next eclipse?
Yeah, so eclipses happen all the time, but they happen in very specific parts of the planet. As the shadow of the moon goes across the surface of the Earth. But the next North American eclipse is for about 20 years. So This is a good time to catch it. If any,
I better catch it now.
I know. Well, if any of the professors are out there, maybe if your class is from 12:30 to 3:30, maybe let them out a little early or stuff like that. My class will be canceled, and let the students out, let everybody out, faculty, students, staff, to go enjoy this once in a generation eclipse. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really is.
It's so cool to hear how the department, y'all have all of the knowledge and resources and all of this awesome equipment And so it's awesome to hear that y'all are being proactive and getting that out to the drill field so everyone can enjoy it. And, you know, with that appetite that everyone has when they're kids about space and to get to see something really cool. And so just so happy that we could talk about that. And as we wind down this podcast, I was also hoping you could just tell us a bit about what you're working on currently. Do you have any cool research projects going on that you'd like to tell us about?
Oh, yeah. I'm super busy right now. So I'm about to leave in the next couple hours. I'm going to a conference in New Zealand. It's a conference called Extreme Solar Systems. So we talk about extrasolar planets and the discovery and studying the properties of these extrasolar planets in extreme environments. And at that meeting, I will be talking about the telescope on the moon that we're trying to get funded and built. And so, you know, wow, we have all these different projects with Artemis. NASA's now spending money, sending a lot of things to the moon. We've had a bunch of landers try to land. A lot of them have not landed so well. Mm-hmm. And so we hope to catch a ride in a couple of years and put a little telescope on that lander. And we're going to study some extrasolar planets. And then you'll be hearing about from me in a little bit about a new project that I just found out about, but I can't tell you yet.
And so this
is gonna, yeah, this is going to be
a cliffhanger.
Big deal. Stay tuned for news of this new project I'll be working on.
Well, Angel, I think too, you took one for the team by staying here in 2017 to lead me in the college and the university through a viewing. And so you are going to totality this year, but we will miss you, but you will be here up until to help us navigate what we're looking for and just how significant this is. It's really a neat thing.
Yeah. So if anybody out there that's listening, if you've got, you know, if you've got kids at home, if you're a teacher, K through 12, we are organizing, we have a whole team getting together and organizing school visits. If you have any questions about the eclipse, please contact me. I will be heading to Arkansas the day before the eclipse, and hopefully, cross your fingers, we have clear skies, even if it's like partly cloudy, at least for totality. Well, even or even Starkville, that'll be fine because you'll be able to see the sun kind of like today where it's peeking out behind the clouds. You can tell. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm super excited. This will be my first total solar eclipse. And I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited about what's happening on campus. So I hope you guys take lots of pictures. Stuff.
We will. You will be with us in spirit, but we want you to enjoy totality.
And via texting, of course.
And Angel, thank you so much again for being willing to share your knowledge with our community and our university. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's always fun.
And thank you for being our guest on the Vision Podcast. And for our listeners, if you have an idea for a podcast episode or have any questions about the show, please email me, Karen Brown, at kbrown@dnas.msstate.edu. Thank you for listening.